Bring Out the Sea in Me by Tabby Essentially, read by Juniper Phoenix. Lan Wangji walked a few paces behind Wei Ying, eyeing the crowd, mindful of anyone about to make a sudden move. He wasn't being overly protective. He was being a perfectly normal amount of protective. People still recognized the Yiling patriarch, particularly the older generation, and many of them hadn't yet heard of Jin Guanyao's machinations. He would not call Wei Ying innocent, any more than he or any of their peers were innocent, but Wangji would not allow anyone to accuse Wei Ying of things he hadn't done. Wei Ying walked with his hands clasped behind his back, casual, portraying harmlessness. He didn't twirl Chen Xing, but he didn't hide it either. It was going to take a while for everyone to accept Wei Ying, to accept them together. Still, Wangji loved, absolutely adored these times, when they were two wandering cultivators going from town to city to village, looking for problems to solve. He'd wanted this since his childhood, and it was, for the most part, living up to his fondest dreams. To walk the streets of this seaside town with Wei Ying at his side, indulging all of his senses, felt blissful in a way he longed to hold on to. The crowd was perhaps a bit too loud, but he'd gotten better at being among so many people over the years. He had no choice. It was high summer. The vending carts overflowed with fruits on the cusp of being overripe, and he let the colors of them overwhelm his eyes. Red, orange, green, pink. He could nearly taste their juices. Even the trees seemed almost too full, their leaves lush and drooping. Autumn breathed down their necks late at night, but the afternoons were hot and wet. In Gusu, sometimes he could smell the sea when the wind blew over the mountains, but here the smell was constant, stronger. It coated his tongue in salt. It was not unpleasant. Wei Ying turned back and linked their arms.
Ah, Lan Zhan, that sea air is so good, isn't it? It brings me back to my childhood.
How could there still be so much he didn't know about Wei Ying? Have you been to the sea?
Have I? We used to travel there a few times a year. I really loved it. Have you?
Not often. As a child, he had rarely left Gusu. There wasn't anything of use to his training at the seaside. He'd gone to the other side of the mountain once, after Wei Ying's death, on the rumor of someone using dark magic to bind a sea demon. And he had gone once again after that to struggle with one himself. At the time, he hadn't paid much attention to the appeal of it. Nor to anything, really. Wei Ying pulled him closer and smiled.
We should go, Hear the roar of the waves? It would be fun.
Lan Zhan said, as if he'd had to think about it.
Let's go there, Wei Ying said, with a little tug on his arm. I know the way.
Do you?
Psh, don't tease. I may be terrible with directions, but I can always find the water. Come on.
He pulled Lan Zhan along, just as he had when they were young together. They ran past merchants, past carts, down an alley where people were hanging clothes on lines to dry, the colors of their garments streaking by under the sun, glorious. He was young again. He had never lost Wei Ying. He had never seen war or horror or punishment. He ran under the summer sun with Wei Ying's hand in his, following the scent of the ocean. After a while, they exited the alleyway and came to a wooden pier along the river. Wei Ying was out of breath by then and had to stop. Lan Zhan took the water pouch out of his tiankun and offered it to him first.
Phew, Wei Ying said, taking a long drink. Thanks, Lan Zhan. It's so hot today. Isn't it great?
It wasn't great. The chill of the mountain suited him much better. The mildness of the summertime and even the bitter cold of their winters in Gusu were what his body was used to. Wei Ying thrived in this watery, overbearing heat. He watched Wei Ying take another drink, watched his lips touch the spout, his tongue dart out to chase the drops around it. They had been intimate once, that first night in the Jingxi, before the siege on the mountain. That night, Wei Ying had come inside, his hair wet from the snow,
sat down across from him, taking his hands, and asked, "Can we go to bed?" There had been no question that he meant together. And then, Wei Ying had left for months. In the weeks since his return, they had kissed once or twice, but hadn't slept together. Wei Ying had spent his nights in a guest house and visited him daily until they had decided to set out together. Wang Ji wanted to ask why they hadn't done it again, why Wei Ying never came to him at night. Did Wei Ying regret it? But he hadn't worked up the courage, because asking usually meant getting an answer. "Lan Zhan," Wei Ying said, handing the water back to him, "your eyes are so far away. What are you thinking about?" "You." Wei Ying's smile was sudden and soft. "You never say things you don't mean. Thank you for thinking of me, Lan Zhan. I think about you all day, too."
"You do?"
Wei Ying huffed, exasperated.
"Lan Zhan!"
Wang Ji couldn't help smiling as he walked on. Wei Ying hurried to catch up, but his attention was diverted by a family docking their boat up along the pier. He planted his hands on his hips and laughed out loud. The vessel was a small sampan, with white sails so bright they could only have been brand new. The boat's hull scraped up against the pier with the squeal of wood on wood, and Wei Ying cringed. There were two young children aboard, sitting together in the back, while the mother and father struggled to angle the boat alongside the dock. The man threw a looped rope around the post and tried to pull it in. Ridiculous. The boat rocked to the side, and the children squealed.
"It looks like you could use some help,"
Wei Ying said, approaching the family and bowing to them from the pier.
"I'll get it eventually," the man said. He was in his 40s or thereabouts. His wife, too.
"I have no doubt," Wei Ying held his bow. "But you'll want that fine boat tied by tonight with the sails down, in time for the storm."
"What storm?" the woman asked.
"The one on the horizon." He was right, of course. Lan Zhan could feel it, the change in the air, the direction of the wind, and the way his shoulder ached where it had dislocated so many years ago from a strike of the whip. It didn't bother him much these days, but sometimes when it was going to rain.
"All right, Master Boatman," the man said. "We haven't had this boat for long, so..."
Grinning, Wei Ying walked over to them, light on his feet, happy to be of service.
"Throw the rope to me," he said.
The man did so, and Wei Ying made a few quick loops with it, securing it to the dock. His hands moved quickly. He barely had to watch what he was doing. He even glanced over his shoulder once at Wang Ji and gave him a smile so bright that it almost knocked him back a step. He wrinkled his nose like a rabbit and went back to securing the sampan, tugging the rope a few times to make sure it was secure. He held his hand out to the lady.
"Come on off, then."
She was shy as she took his hand, and he kept his eyes lowered. The children came next.
"Young master, young miss," Wei Ying said, bowing to them too.
The man tried to disembark without help, but got his foot stuck between the boat and the dock. Wei Ying said nothing as he caught the man by his elbow and helped him up.
"May I board?" he asked.
"Oh, yes," the woman said. "Please go ahead, or we'll never get this done." Wei Ying climbed aboard and started working to take the sails down. "You've got to strip your sails when weather is on the way," he said. "One should make it a habit anyway, this close to the sea, because storms are sudden. An onshore gust will rock your boat, and you'll take on water at best. At worst, it will break your mast or turn it completely over. So you want your sails down." With one last yank, he pulled the final sail and wound the rope around it. Then he went to the stern, took more rope, and tied that end to the dock, too. "Keep it tight against the dock, like this, because the current is fast here. See how dark the water is? You don't want the stern to spin out." The woman elbowed her husband.
"See," she said. "I told you we should have learned more about it."
"A vessel like this is a commitment," Wei Ying said. "But I have no doubt you'll be masters of it in no time." He hopped back onto the dock. As he made his way back to Wang Ji, the woman's eyes widened. She had spotted Chen Xing.
She looked at Wang Ji, made the connection, and elbowed her husband. Now came the moment he always dreaded. How were they going to react? And when that reaction came, how must he handle it? Wei Ying must have read his expression. He was so good at that, because he gave a small, resigned nod before he turned back to face the family. For their part, the husband and wife both bowed. Han Guanjun, they said in unison. Wang Ji returned the courtesy, then rose and tilted his head at them, waiting. The husband sputtered, forcing a small, jerky bow toward Wei Ying as well, and muttering, "Master Wei." Wei Ying bowed as well, with a gracious little nod. "Good luck," he said, waving as he turned his back. Wei Ying always assured him that these things didn't bother him, and Wang Ji believed him. Wei Ying cared little for people's thoughts and chatter, unless they were going to act on their opinions. He was always more than happy to leave it behind him and look ahead. And ahead was the ocean. They followed the river on foot until the winds picked up and a warm rain began to patter down on the wooden boardwalk. Little homes lined the river, and men and women raced outside to bring their laundry in. "How is your shoulder?" Wei Ying asked, as the rain pelted down harder. "It's fine," Wang Ji said. "We should stop for the night?" Wei Ying was clearly getting fatigued, and Wang Ji disliked the feeling of walking in wet clothes. He hired a cart to take them the rest of the way. Wei Ying sat beside him, lulled into a light sleep by the movement, his head resting on Wang Ji's shoulder. He wanted to rest his cheek on Wei Ying's hair, but didn't want to disturb him, so he kept still and enjoyed it. It was full dark by the time they reached the street that ran along the shoreline and exited the cart outside of an inn. From the alleyway between the inn and the shop next to it, they could glimpse the ocean, though the street lanterns were barely bright enough to light the waves. They heard it more than saw it, that restless churning. Wang Ji felt like the ocean sometimes, pushing and pulling. Wei Ying stood beside him, peering down the alley as the rain came down harder. "Let's go there tomorrow, Lan Zhan, all right? The storm will blow over. It'll be hot again." Wang Ji said. They checked into the inn and were given a room overlooking the street. It was drab and dark and had two beds. They disrobed quietly and hung their clothes up to dry. By then, Wei Ying was so tired, he washed quickly and fell into bed. Wang Ji watched him by candlelight and listened to the rain lashing the roof as he took his hair down and washed in the basin. Wei Ying stirred in his bed and said, "Lan Zhan?" When Wang Ji turned to him, Wei Ying scooted over and patted the bed. Wang Ji didn't think this was an offer of sex. Wei Ying looked too sleepy. But it was an offer of intimacy, and one he couldn't turn away. He climbed into the bed and forced himself to hold still when Wei Ying placed a casual hand on his chest and pressed his face into his shoulder. It was possible that Wei Ying regretted their one night together, or worse, that Wang Ji had misread his intentions when he'd come back into the Jingxia and removed his belt and his robe. Perhaps Wei Ying had just gone along with it because he thought he was supposed to. What a disaster, if so. Yet, if that was the case, Wei Ying had seemingly forgiven his forwardness, because here he was, pressed up against his side and sleeping peacefully. Wang Ji's sleep was not as peaceful. The next morning dawned bright and hot, as Wei Ying had said it would. Wei Ying didn't sleep late. In fact, he was out of bed and cheerfully getting dressed before Wang Ji. "Lan Zhan," he said, "say you'll go into the water with me." He'd waded into it up to his knees while searching for the water demon, but there had never been any reason to go further. "I'll go," Wang Ji said, even as he tried to figure out the logistics. Would he have to disrobe in view of everyone on the shore and wade into the water in his underclothes? "Lan Zhan," Wei Ying said, "you're so good." Wei Ying only put on one layer, the top robe, over his underclothes, so Wang Ji followed suit. His clothes felt too light, like a breeze could rip them away, or like he might float away with them. To his surprise, it wasn't completely unpleasant. Wei Ying hastily braided his hair and tied it at the bottom with a strip of cloth. Wang Ji should probably braid his hair as well. Is that what was done in order to go into the sea? And his headband? He hadn't affixed his guan yet. It might be wiser to leave it off. Wei Ying finished with his hair and came over, turning Wang Ji around and sitting him down on the bed. Don't fret, he said. I'll do it for you, all right? You don't have to take your clothes off if you're uncomfortable, although they can drag you down in the water. His hands hesitated, hovering behind Wang Ji's head. Is it all right if I touch your headband? You always may, Wang Ji said, perhaps too quickly. Wei Ying smoothed his hair down with both hands, his touch confident and achingly sweet. Wang Ji wanted to lean into it. Then Wei Ying braided it for him, looping his headband into the braid to keep it secure and using it to tie the bottom. He patted Wang Ji's shoulders and said, "There." "Thank you," Wang Ji murmured, and a moment later he felt the warm press of Wei Ying's lips on the back of his head. He reached up and placed his hand over Wei Ying's where it lay on his shoulder. Wei Ying stood up and stretched, and the moment was over. They had breakfast of fruit and bread outside in front of the inn. The air was heavy with humidity and smelled of salt and fish. It seeped into the two layers of his clothes, down to his skin. He felt light and cooler than usual. Someday he might get used to this. The question remained, why had they come here? There was no demon to fight. No one had gone missing or been cursed. Wei Ying finished eating an orange and licked his fingers, smiling at him from across the table like there was nothing in the world on his mind. Could this just be a vacation? Had they come out here for no other reason than to do something fun together? When they finished eating, Wei Ying stood up and held out his hand. Wang Ji took it, letting Wei Ying pull him up. "Lan Zhan, let's go," he said, with the same smile he'd used on him since their adolescence together, the same mischievous look in his eyes as if they were about to get up to something troublesome. They ran through the alley and came out the other end at the seashore. Wang Ji had to shield his eyes from the sun reflecting off the sand and water. A walkway of wooden planks led down toward the fine white sand, where people had laid out blankets, and in some cases their own robes, so they could lie down in just their underclothes and dry off in the sun. A few families were eating breakfast on the shore, and children were flying kites, their bright colors splashed against the deep blue of the sky. Fishing boats dotted the horizon, and a small number of people were wading into the water. A child squealed as they got knocked over by a wave. It was loud here. The sound of the water overwhelmed the chatter of the people on the beach. Northward, a border of boulders and rocks lined an inlet, where the river they had followed poured out to the ocean. In the inlet, more boats rocked and bobbed, sampans, rowing boats, and some larger fishing vessels. Wei Ying breathed deeply like he wanted to inhale the entire sea, and stretched out his arms as if to embrace the sun. Wang Ji stared at him, at the length of his neck and the fall of the braid down his back. Wei Ying untied his belt and threw his robes open eagerly, as he had that night in the Jingxia, and Wang Ji had to force himself to look away and not think about it. Wei Ying laid his robe out on the sand and placed Chen Xing on top of it. Then he turned to Wang Ji and took his hands. "Lan Zhan, it's really all right if you're not comfortable. I'm happy to be here with you no matter what. I haven't been to the ocean since..." He stopped, and a fleeting look of surprise and resignation passed over his face. "Well, more than 20 years, I think. So I'm going to go swimming for a bit." He did feel uncomfortable about taking his outer robe off, but what other way was there to do this? This was special to Wei Ying, something Wei Ying wanted to share with him. "Of course I'll go with you," Wang Ji said. Wei Ying squeezed his hands. His smile rivaled the sun. "Lan Zhan," he said, his eyes coquettish again. wonderful. You're too good. In his entire life, nothing made his cheeks feel as warm as when Wei Ying spoke sweetly to him like that. Wei Ying owned his blush. He untied his belt and pulled off his outer robe efficiently, telling himself that no one was looking, no one cared. Everyone here was in underclothes, not just him. Wei Ying took his robe from his hands and folded it in two, then gently laid it on top of his own. "So you don't get sand in it," he said. "I don't mind being sandy, but you'll hate it."
"I've been to war," Wang Ji reminded him.
"I know, but we're not at war now, and we're not fighting demons or rolling around on the forest floor, so there's no need." He was also weak for Wei Ying's kindness. He gently laid Bi Chen down on top of their robes, next to Chen Qing. Wei Ying bent down to take off his shoes, and then knelt to remove Wang Ji's, too. The intimacy of this act was enough to make him gasp and glance around the beach to see if anyone was watching them. No one was, but again he felt his face heat up. Wei Ying smiled up at him and gave a squeeze to his ankle before standing again. They stood on the sand, barefoot and in their underclothes, and Wei Ying took his hand, and nobody was watching them as Wei Ying pulled him toward the water. The waves rushed to meet them, and at the first touch on their feet, Wei Ying yelped, "It's so cold!" It wasn't, not compared to some of the springs at Cloud Recesses, but Wei Ying's tolerance for cold was lower than his. Still, they walked farther in, until the waves lapped at their calves. Two children tumbled by, caught in a wave, a tangle of legs and arms and a flash of hair. Wei Ying caught them both by the collars of their shirts and lifted them out, placing them gently down on their feet. "Careful," he told them, as they stood there in the surf up to their hips, wiping their noses and blinking in shock. "You shouldn't go out past the drop without your parents." A man who was presumably their father swam down shore, got on his feet, and took them both by the hand, leading them out of the water. Wei Ying gave them a small wave and moved on as if nothing had happened.
"They could have drowned?" Wang Ji said. It sounded like a question when it came out of his mouth.
"They were all right," Wei Ying said. "At least the waves were pushing them toward the shore instead of dragging them out. Watch out for the drop, by the way."
Wang Ji tilted his head, and Wei Ying pointed.
"In 3 steps, there's a drop. See where the waves curl? They get mean when there's a steep slope. A few quick steps and you're out of your depth and getting beaten up. This is why slack tide swimming is better for kids. With the full moon tonight, last night's storm, and the breeze going out toward the ocean, that makes it rough. The currents are bad, too. Drag you all the way out before you can blink."
Wang Ji looked out at the sea. He knew what that kind of current looked like, a strip of dark water. The waves battered at their legs. They had turned to face each other, letting the water hit the sides of their bodies, and Wang Ji planted his feet firmly.
"I don't see that current," he said. "You can't always see them. You can't always feel them either," Wei Ying said. "Sometimes it just pulls you out a little further every time you lift your feet up. You drift slowly, not even realizing how far you are from the shore until it's too late. They're sneaky. But that's okay, Lan Zhan, because your cultivation is strong. You could just fly back to the shore."
"Could you?"
Wei Ying shrugged. "Probably. But I can swim, too. Ready for the drop? It's fun." They took a few steps deeper in, and suddenly they were in the ocean up to their waists. The next wave barreled toward them, and Wei Ying tugged on his hand. "Duck under, like this," he said, and pulled him forward beneath the crest. The water threaded cold fingers through Wang Ji's hair and over his scalp, down the back of his shirt. The sensation tingled along his spine, shocking him with the sensual pleasure of it. This water moved differently than the cold ponds and lakes of his home. It felt intimate, like a caress. They surfaced together, and Wei Ying was grinning at him, the sun glinting off his wet skin, sparkling in his eyes. Wei Ying picked his feet up and floated on his back, still holding on to Wang Ji's hand. He tilted his head back and let the next wave rush over his face and plaster his hair back. Wang Ji wasn't ready for it, and it splashed into the side of his head.
Following Wei Ying's lead, he picked his feet up too, and they floated together as the waves rocked them. The sun was still to their east, and the blue of the sky filled his vision as the water held him aloft. They were past the breakers now, so the waves weren't crashing on top of them, merely rising and falling. The sound of them as they rushed up to the shore, the overwhelming shush and swish of them, the height over his head as they crested, it would have intimidated someone with weak cultivation, or none at all. Wang Ji could see how easy it was for someone to be swept away. The ocean was the largest thing in the world, bigger than any mountain. They had drifted away down the shore by the time Wei Ying put his feet down again, and Wang Ji did the same. The water was up to their shoulders now, and Wei Ying pulled them closer to the shore until it was hip-high again.
"Aiya," Wei Ying said. "Such a strong northern current today. We got dragged away."
They half swam and half walked against the pull of the water back to where they had started. A few more people had come in. Children mostly splashed around in front of where the waves broke, not too deep, though a few of the more daring among them threw themselves face first into them, letting the waves tumble them around and tangle their hair. Some of them had small wooden boards that they were using to lie on top of, letting the waves push them up the shore as they squealed in delight. Some adults swam farther out, bobbing along with the waves, jumping up when they crested close to them, or diving beneath them the way Wei Ying had shown him. Two women held hands as they waded in. A mother and son splashed each other in the shallows. A man swam farther out, skilled and at ease in the water, and then stopped, keeping his face above the surface, looking up at the sun. That's all these people were doing. There was no sport, no point to it other than to be in the water, letting it move them around. Wei Ying stepped closer, as if the waves battering against their sides didn't affect him, and asked, "Lan Zhan, do you like it?" with such aching sweetness that he had no choice but to answer right away. "I do." Wei Ying moved closer, pulling his hands out of Wang Ji's grasp to cradle his face, his fingers cold against Wang Ji's cheeks.
"Lan Zhan, you're so adorable. How are you so sweet?"
He leaned in, and Wang Ji closed his eyes, thinking, "Finally." But instead of kissing him, Wei Ying pressed his forehead to Wang Ji's ribbon, which was intimate enough to steal his breath, but he still wanted that kiss and didn't dare take it without being invited. Again, he thought back to that night in the Jingxia, how they had clung to each other, the absolute shock of knowing another person's body, of being that close. He'd thought that Wei Ying had liked it, loved it, as much as he had, but something had chased him away after the events at the temple. Maybe Lan Zhan had misread his intentions that night. When Wei Ying had come back in taking his belt off, maybe he had just been getting ready for bed, and maybe Wang Ji had escalated it by staring at him, or by rising to meet him, or by holding out his hand. Wei Ying smoothed his hands down Wang Ji's arms until they came to rest at his hips, and they swayed together like that. "I feel," Wei Ying began, "or rather, I used to feel such a..." He stopped to gather his thoughts. "I used to feel the qi rising in me like the tide when I would stay in the water for a long time as it filled my meridians. Have you ever heard of that, Lan Zhan? When you meditate in the water, do you feel it? Like it's sharing its life with you?" "It helps me focus," he said. "In water meditation, I can direct my qi."
"Ah," Wei Ying nodded. "Yes, but more as if you're drawing that energy from the water, absorbing it. Sometimes I used to feel as if it was transforming my core. I guess it's hard to explain if you've never felt that. Or maybe I was just imagining it. It's easy to think up fantasies like that."
"But," Wang Ji began, "how to put this? But feelings are real. So does it matter if anyone else can confirm it?" Wei Ying turned coquettish eyes up at him and said,
Lanzhen, you're so smart.
Then he closed his eyes and the conversation was over. It hadn't taken Wang Ji long to figure out that Wei Ying often wanted to talk about things that were painful to him, but only just enough to bleed them a little. When he was done, and Wang Ji never pushed him for more. Whatever Wei Ying wished to tell him would come in its own time. Wei Ying still had his eyes closed, but Wang Ji turned to check where they had left their clothes and weapons, and saw a small group of people surrounding their belongings on the sand. He couldn't hear them over the sound of the water, but their furtive glances and pointing fingers told him exactly what they were talking about. Sensing the direction of his thoughts, Wei Ying looked too. "Looks like we've been recognized," Wei Ying said, with a nod to the small crowd. And then he made the gesture that always broke Wang Ji's heart. His gaze cast down, half smiling, but still somehow looking as if he felt guilty for being alive again. As if he knew he was causing trouble just by existing. Wang Ji put his fingers under Wei Ying's chin and tilted his face up. "I don't care what they think." Wei Ying's hands left his hips, and he wrapped them around Wang Ji's waist, linking his fingers behind his back. It was unbearable to not be kissing him. All Wang Ji could do was lean into him and press his face into Wei Ying's neck, pulling him closer until there was no water between them. He didn't know where to put his own arms until Wei Ying nudged them to rest on his shoulders. Wei Ying tightened his grip. Wang Ji wanted to be held like this lying down, wanted Wei Ying's full weight on top of him, pinning his spirit into his body, compressing the broken pieces of him together. The crush of his embrace felt so good he wanted to wrap his legs around Wei Ying's hips. Not even for sex, merely for more contact. Then Wei Ying's head jerked up. He pulled away too quickly and Wang Ji stumbled against him, blindsided by the sudden loss of contact. Wei Ying whipped his shirt over his head and threw it to the side as Wang Ji gaped at him, shocked. But not too shocked, because this was not the first time Wei Ying had suddenly started disrobing. The shirt floated on the next wave, but Wei Ying was gone, diving underneath the crest and surfacing well beyond the next one as he swam out. It might even have seemed like a game, something he would do for fun, except that Wang Ji could feel his panic. He picked his feet up and started swimming after Wei Ying, using some of his spiritual power to lift himself out of the water and to fight against the waves. Wei Ying's arms moved with powerful strokes. The sun glinted on his bare skin, and this was not the time for Wang Ji to be watching the stretch and flex of his back muscles and wishing he was digging his fingers into them to pull Wei Ying down on top of him. Something was wrong here. He was heading for the floating man, the one who had swum confidently out, the man who now barely had his chin above the surface. He was a lot farther from the shore than he'd been when Wang Ji had spotted him moments earlier. The man's face was upturned, and with the next wave he dipped under, and water poured into his open mouth. Oh, he had never seen someone drown before. It didn't look like what he had pictured. Wang Ji rose out of the water and followed Wei Ying as he used the current to reach the drowning man. He saw, as yet, no reason to intervene. Now that Wang Ji was above the water, it was easy to see the current that flowed outwards too fast, pulling everything along with it. But Wei Ying was strong. Even without his golden core, his body was still capable. Wang Ji looked down at the water and back to the shore briefly, where a crowd had now gathered to see what the Yiling patriarch was up to and how Han Guangjun was going to react. With each wave that hit, Wei Ying dove under and surfaced on the other side until he reached the man. Instantly, the man's arms wound around Wei Ying's neck, flailing, trying to climb onto him to get himself out of the water. Briefly, he pushed Wei Ying under, and Wang Ji dropped down to help. But Wei Ying grabbed the man firmly by the arms and turned him, slinging his arm around the man's chest so that his back was fitted tightly against him. The man kept struggling, but Wei Ying used his free arm and strong legs to push against the current. He swam sideways, parallel to the shore, until he broke free of it, and then used the force of the waves to push them back toward the shore.
They were almost there when the man went lax in his grip. Now time was of the essence, and Wang Ji lowered himself again. "Wei Ying," he asked, holding his hand out. Wei Ying took it and let Wang Ji pull them both out of the water and fly them the short distance back to the shore. He placed them both down onto the sand, and Wei Ying hit the ground running with the man clasped in his arms, bringing him farther up shore before placing him down. Wang Ji landed beside them as the man flopped face down and vomited water all over the sand. There was so much, it didn't seem like such an amount could fit in human lungs. Wang Ji turned him on his back to share some qi with him, but Wei Ying rolled him onto his side instead. As he did so, more water flowed from the man's nose and mouth as he coughed and sputtered. His eyelids flicked open briefly and then closed again as he lost consciousness. A crowd had started to cluster around them, and Wang Ji was very aware of them, as he was aware of any crowd getting close to Wei Ying, because past experience had informed him on this scenario. But Wei Ying didn't pay them any mind as he checked for the man's breathing and meridians. He snapped his fingers and said, "Robe?" Wang Ji went back to where they had left their clothes and weapons and took everything. He handed Wei Ying his black robe, which Wei Ying laid over the shivering man. So Wang Ji draped his own robe over Wei Ying's naked shoulders. Over the years, Wang Ji had gotten used to people screaming. He could discern by now various types of screams. The one he heard now wasn't violent, just panicked. "Ah Chen!" A woman ran along the shore towards them as she called this name. She came barreling over and nearly shoved Wei Ying aside when she landed on her knees beside the man, but Wang Ji held his arm out to stop her. She shoved weakly at Wei Ying's shoulder anyway, and Wei Ying backed off willingly. "Ah Chen," the woman asked, patting the man's cheeks. "Ah Chen, wake up!" When he didn't rouse immediately, she turned to the crowd around them, and her eyes narrowed when they landed on Wei Ying. "My husband is a strong swimmer," she said. "How did this happen?" A few murmurs came from the crowd, and a man spoke up, saying, "The water was calm until he went in." He pointed out Wei Ying and then quickly hid himself at the back of the throng. Wei Ying didn't respond other than to shake his head in resignation and look down at the sand. Wang Ji had the irrational urge to fly to Yun Meng and punch Jiang Chang in the face. But he was here now, and a stranger whose husband Wei Ying had just saved was the one putting that look on his face. Wei Ying's hand landed on his arm, and he shook his head. "It's all right. Ignore it." Wang Ji went back to feeding energy to the unconscious man, but couldn't give it his full concentration. "It was calm," someone else pointed out quietly. "Then we saw the Yiling Patriarch wade in, and the waves really did pick up." And here came the mob. It never failed. Wang Ji looked up. "How do you know it wasn't me?"
"Lan Chat,"
Wei Ying snapped, as if he cared. The people stepped back as one, murmuring and gasping. He wanted to teach them a lesson. He wanted to stop being quiet for once, to let it all out and say what needed saying, what had needed saying for almost 20 years. He wanted... The woman, Chen's wife, stripped off her outer robe so that she could rip Wei Ying's off of her husband and cover him with her own. She made as if to throw Wei Ying's robe to the ground, but Wang Ji caught it from her hand. She relented, handing it over and lowering her gaze. Wei Ying started taking Wang Ji's robe from around his shoulders to give it back, but Wang Ji shook his head and pulled Wei Ying's robe over his own shoulders, earning a small smile from him. Briefly, Wang Ji tucked his face into the collar of the robe, catching the scent of the soap Wei Ying had used on his hair a few nights before. The man on the sand stirred, groaning, his eyes fluttering as he turned himself over and tried to get up. "Rest a few more moments," Wang Ji said. His wife shook him by the shoulders, trying to haul him up, to pull him away from them, from Wei Ying, who was sitting quietly in the sand, his braid dripping water down Wang Ji's robe, looking like he was trying to disappear into the background. But the man pulled away from her, sat up, and dragged himself to his knees. He tried to speak, coughed more water out onto the sand, and tried again. "Saved me," he croaked. "Thank." "It's all right," Wei Ying said, without looking up. The man's wife grabbed at his shoulders again. He shrugged her off. Still on his knees, he clasped his hands before him and tried to bow. He nearly toppled, but Wei Ying caught him by the arms. "It's fine," Wei Ying said. "Really." A young girl, perhaps in her teens, stepped forward from the crowd. "I saw it," she said. "The Yiling patriarch swam out and pulled him back in." The waves didn't get bigger because he was in the water. Anyone who swims in the ocean a lot knows that the waves are changeable moment to moment. "I don't care what else this man did. He pulled someone out of the water, and that's not easy. I watched the whole thing." Wang Ji nodded his thanks to her. The onlookers, now that the excitement was over and they were somewhat chastened, dispersed slowly, trickling away a little bit at a time. The man Wei Ying had rescued, Chen, was still trying to lower himself in a bow, and Wei Ying still had him by the arms, saying, "You're still shaky, it's all right. I accept your thanks, it's fine. Lie back down." Chen's wife sat on the sand beside him, rubbing his back, looking anguished and worried. "Father," Chen croaked, "owns." Wei Ying, always willing to hear a story, said, "Huh?" But Wang Ji was ready to be on their way. Chen was fine, and Wang Ji had had enough of people's antics for one day, a day that was supposed to be just him and Wei Ying and the seaside. They had possibly been about to kiss when they were in the water. Perhaps they could get back to that. But here came someone new, striding down the beach with great purpose. Judging by his clothes, he was wealthy. Judging by his bearing, he enjoyed letting others know it. "What is this?" he asked. Chen's wife stood up and bowed to him. "A Chen was swimming when suddenly the water seemed to come to life, and the waves pulled him out." Chen dragged himself to his feet. He managed, pointing to Wei Ying. Wang Ji stood between Wei Ying and the wealthy man, who was frowning at them, suspicious and ready to be angry. Perhaps they could find another shore, where they might have some peace. "Saved me," Chen finally said. The man turned back to Wei Ying, who gave him a small, half-hearted bow and said, "We'll be on our way." To Chen, he added, "Be mindful tonight of how you feel. If you're too sleepy or coughing too much, get a healer. Water can stay in your lungs and cause further issues. Just be aware of it." "Nonsense," the rich man said. "No need to go. If you saved my son's life, you are owed something fine in return. Can I offer you a room at the inn?" "Oh," Wei Ying said. "That's kind, but we already have one." The rich man stroked his beard. "I can sweeten that offer for you, What would you say to our special room overlooking the beautiful sea? I'll give it to you for the price of the street-side room. And I'll throw in a free hot bath, a meal, and some firewood if you'd like to sit on the shore to dry off." "Your offer is indeed kind," Wei Ying said, "but there's no need." "Thank you," Wang Ji interrupted, bowing to the innkeeper. "We would enjoy that greatly." Wei Ying smiled, indulgent and indulged. Later, before dusk, Wei Ying dug a pit in the sand and threw the firewood in. Wang Ji briefly considered helping, using magic to blast a shallow pit into the sand, but stopped himself when he realized that Wei Ying was enjoying himself. Gathering the wood, setting stones around it, piling it up and lighting it with a talisman, he was meditative and quiet as he did these things. His hair, still braided, hung down the back of Wang Ji's robe, which he had tied on properly over his underclothes. Wang Ji was likewise wearing Wei Ying's black robe. He watched as Wei Ying set aside two of the larger logs, side by side at the edge of the fire pit, sat down, and patted the one next to his. Wangji sat beside him. The reflection of the full moon streaked white across the water. Salt coated his skin, his tongue, his lungs, his clothes. His mind went back to Wei Ying gliding through the water, the powerful strokes of his arms, the sun glistening on the fine muscles in his back. His willingness to do the right thing without thinking, his courage. Wei Ying, he said, before realizing he had no thoughts in his mind, just images. No words to finish his sentence, when Wei Ying turned to him and said, "Yes?" So instead, he just stared at him.
"Lan Zhan?" Wei Ying said.
"You could have been pulled out by the same current. It's harder for you to fly above. You went without thinking."
"It's nothing," Wei Ying said.
"No, no, I'm not being modest," he went on, before Wang Ji had a chance to interrupt. "I mean, swimming out like that is easy for me."
"Lan Zhan."
His smile was sly, shameless, one eyebrow raised and his eyes slightly narrowed, teasing, flirtatious. "Not only was I the best archer at Lotus Pier, I was the best swimmer. Can't tell you how many contests I won. Besides, I've pulled people out of the water before."
"You have?"
Wei Ying had done this? This swimming against the waves, heroically dragging someone back to the shore? With his shirt off?
"Sure. Mostly little kids out of the river, though. Only once at the ocean like this. And he wasn't very far out. But it's okay."
He held his hands up and giggled, lest Wang Ji should get the wrong idea and think he was being reckless today. "I was taught early in life how to get out of a fast current. Most children in Lotus Pier are." He laughed under his breath and threw a twig onto the fire. "Jiang Fengmian threw me into the river the first summer I was there. Nearly every child is thrown in like that. Always with a swimmer around in case it goes wrong, which it usually does. Shijia pulled me out the first few times, but soon I learned to either pull myself onto the dock or swim to her." He gazed into the fire, his eyes wet like they always were when he spoke of his sister. Wang Ji remained quiet, letting him go backwards in time to be with her again, however briefly. "Jiang Cheng almost killed himself once trying to beat me in wave hold downs."
"Wave hold downs?" Wang Ji asked.
"It's when one wave knocks you off your feet and then another one comes before you can orient yourself and get up. We came to the ocean a lot as children, and we were made to seal our power and hold our breath for 2 wave hold downs. It was hard, but I'm grateful for it now. Jiang Cheng wanted to try for a 3rd hold down, and I pulled him out. Goodness, he was so mad at me." He stopped speaking so quickly he nearly didn't finish the last syllable. But though the current was fast today, the waves were small and spaced nicely apart. Sometimes they're vicious and they batter you when they break. You get rolled over and over until you have no idea which way is up. If the ocean decides it wants you, you belong to it forever. Caution is the best.
"Ah, Lan Zhan, I talk too much. Sorry."
"I love to hear you talk." He knew most of this information about waves and tides and strong currents, just from reading books. But hearing Wei Ying speak so passionately about something was an experience to revel in. There was so much more he wished to say, but couldn't find the words. Wei Ying had fascinated him from their first moment together. He loved him, but he also liked him, enjoyed his stories and his company, and was awed by his bravery. Only he couldn't say it exactly like that. "I'm proud of you" had a tendency to sound patronizing. Wei Ying was an adult and didn't require anyone's approval. "I'm proud to be by your side," is what finally came out of his mouth. Wei Ying turned to him with a smile, the one he loved best, the unguarded, unexpected one that drew the bottoms of his eyes upwards.
"Lan Zhan," he said plaintively, "you're making me blush now."
By the light of the fire, it was difficult to tell if he actually was blushing, or if he had gotten some color in the sun today, or if the heat of the flames had reddened his cheeks. It must have been obvious that he couldn't look away, because Wei Ying moved closer and leaned in. They had kissed before, obviously that night in the Jingxia, and a few times after they had reunited since then, but that was as far as it had gone. Wang Ji wanted, of course, all of Wei Ying's kisses, even as they left him confused and wanting more. This time, Wei Ying placed his warm palm on Wang Ji's face and drew him in. Wang Ji leaned forward, trying to communicate his desire. He needn't have. Wei Ying grabbed the long braid of his hair in one hand and the collar of his robe in the other and reeled him in. Wang Ji gasped into the kiss, shocked by the suddenness. Wei Ying's lips were dry and sun-chapped and tasted of salt. Wang Ji gripped his arms tight, feeling like he was the one swept out to sea, clinging to Wei Ying. The tug on his hair tilted his head to the side and his mouth dropped open, so surprised he was at how much he liked that feeling. The curl of Wei Ying's fingers into his robe, Wei Ying's own robe that Lan Shan was still wearing, made it seem that Wei Ying was as desperate for this as he was. The kiss went on, longer than any of their previous kisses, except for that night in the Jingxia. Wang Ji lost track of time. By the time Wei Ying was pulling away, the moon could have set and risen again for all he knew. He must have made some kind of noise, because Wei Ying moved back in for a softer, parting kiss before releasing him. Wang Ji sat there, breathless and dumbfounded, staring at Wei Ying under the moonlight with the sea behind him. More, more. He wanted more. Why hadn't they done it again? The best course of action was always to be direct with his words. "Why haven't we done it again?" he asked. Wei Ying tilted his head. "Done what?" Wang Ji huffed at him in annoyance. "Oh, that?" "Yes, that." Wei Ying laughed before schooling his face back to seriousness. "I wasn't sure if... the way I barged into your room that night. We didn't discuss it, it just happened. I felt like maybe I rushed you. I broke so many clan rules. I didn't want you to feel pressured or that you had to..." Wei Ying. How could he put it into words? He hadn't been able to verbalize that night how good it was, so good it hurt, to finally get what he wanted, to give pleasure to Wei Ying and receive it. The words got stuck in his chest. He had tried to show him instead, but perhaps he'd been too overwhelmed to do so. He'd been too quiet that night, too focused on doing it right and being in the moment. Maybe he hadn't communicated enough. "Lan Zhan, I wanted it," he said quickly, before Wei Ying could begin to get the wrong idea. "I loved every moment. I'm sorry if I wasn't appreciative enough. I was..." "Lan Shan, I was happy to be with you. Happy to offer whatever you wanted of me. I know I'm not skilled at letting others know what's on my mind, but I wanted..." "Lan Shan, I wanted your love, and I still do. I wanted to hold you and be held. I wanted to be inside you and for you to be inside of me. Everything we did that night, I loved it, and I want more of whatever you're willing to give." Wei Ying rolled his eyes before leaning in to kiss him again, an obvious shut-up kiss. "I missed you while you were gone," Wang Ji murmured between kisses. "I missed you too," Wei Ying said. "Hush now." Wang Ji hushed and let himself be kissed again. Wei Ying slipped his hand under the collar of his robe to push it aside so he was touching skin, his palm curling around Wang Ji's ribs. Wang Ji let his head fall back so that Wei Ying could tuck his face under his neck and kiss him there. The moon above blurred in his vision. It was so good. He drew Wei Ying in tighter, but Wei Ying backed off, pulling away gently. "Not here," he said. Wang Ji came back to his senses. Of course not here. How had he lost his restraint so quickly? "Of course," he said. anyone could walk by. And not just that, Wei Ying said as he stood up, stretching with his arms over his head, cracking his back. But the sand fleas. I think I already have a few bites. He scratched lightly at his ankles. Wang Ji vaguely remembered hearing about those pests that came out at night, but having never been in a state of undress at the seashore, he'd never given them much thought. And we already have company. Wei Ying pointed toward the boulders that bordered the inlet, where rats had already begun poking their whiskers out from between the cracks and scurrying shamelessly over the rocks. I could sit a ward. After all, the full moon was so bright. Wei Ying glowed beneath it in Wang Ji's robe. It's not just the sand fleas and sea rats, it's... Goodness, Lan Zhan, getting sand in the crack of your ass isn't fun, even when all you're doing is lying on the beach for a rest. I can't even imagine... Yes, Wang Ji said hastily. Of course I understand. Wei Ying laughed, bright as the moon, and grabbed the wooden bucket beside the fire pit. Let me put out the fire, then we'll go and see this fabulous room. Silhouetted against the moon reflecting on the waves, he went back to the shoreline and collected some water in the bucket. When he returned, Wang Ji stood back while he poured it over the fire. The flames went out with a hiss and a billow of smoke. Wang Ji could have extinguished the fire with a wave of his hand, but again didn't want to deny Wei Ying the pleasure of this physical work. Nor did he want to deny himself the pleasure of watching. Wei Ying's braid fell over his shoulder when he reached down to touch the logs, making sure they were cool enough. The white Lan robe slipped from his shoulder as he held the front closed. By the time he was finished, Wang Ji's mouth was dry and his mind was empty of most thoughts. Wei Ying took his hand, and together they walked back to the inn, leaving the roar and swish of the waves behind. The room they had been gifted was well-appointed and clean. Its walls had been painted blue. The bed dressings and pillows were also various shades of blue, and the desks and tables were decorated with seashells. The smell of salt hung in every fabric. A circular window looked out over the ocean, washing the room in moonlight. There were two beds, one by the wall behind a screen and one right in front of the window. A bathtub had been brought inside and filled with clean water. This is nice, Wei Ying said. Most inns were nice, some less so. None as nice as Cloud Recesses, but it could have been a wooden box for all that Wang Ji cared, because Wei Ying was in it with him, smiling at him from across the room. And what could Wang Ji do but follow him? While Wei Ying opened the window and leaned against the sill to look out, Wang Ji took off his outer robe and hung it on a hook by the door, staring at the black of it, the delicate silver pattern of threads running through it. What a strange thing, to have Wei Ying's clothes hanging in their shared inn, the robe Wang Ji had worn all day, breathing in the collar, the intimate scent of Wei Ying's hair. Wang Ji put on that robe while he was still wet from the ocean, and it had left marks on his skin. His trousers irritated him now, too. They were still damp, stiff with salt, too heavy and far too hot, but he didn't dare just remove them. Wei Ying had seemed to suggest, that they might have sex tonight, but he hadn't explicitly said so. So Wang Ji went behind the privacy screen to peel off those torturous trousers. His legs were pink and damp, so uncomfortable he wanted to crawl out of his skin next, but the relief at having the fabric off drew a sigh from him. Wei Ying's silhouette moved past the screen, and then he knocked lightly on the other side of it. Oh, it still felt so strange to be standing here naked with another person so close. He wanted this, but awkwardness and shame still threaded through his desire. Yes, he said, you may... Wei Ying came around the side of the screen with his robe off and his hair down, falling in tight waves set by the salt from being bound in a braid all day. He still had his trousers on, but there was no mistaking the hunger in his eyes. Wei Ying held out his hand. At first, Wang Ji could only stare at him. "You said you wanted to do everything?" Wei Ying said. Gone was the casual, teasing lilt, the sly smirk. Desire, sudden and fierce, surged in him, and he still couldn't think of a thing to say.
"Lan Zhan," Wei Ying said, still holding out his hand. "It's only me."
Only. There was no only when it came to Wei Ying. Wasn't this everything he wanted? His bath could wait. In fact, it was probably better to wait, because he was only going to get dirty again, and sweaty, and sticky. He took Wei Ying's hand. Wei Ying drew him in and kissed him, and pulled him toward the bed. Wei Ying laid him down and held him, covered him with his body, and gave him every pleasure he had imagined, with his long, clever fingers and strong hands. Wei Ying moved above him like the ocean, his lips against Wang Ji's ear, whispering like the sound of waves breaking gently against the shore. Wang Ji curled his hand around the back of his neck, across his shoulders, the sides of his ribs and hips, and he said the most wanton things to Wei Ying, told him how he wanted him, asked him for more, leaned up to kiss and mark his neck, and was kissed and marked in return. And Wei Ying drew the most shameless sounds out of him until there were no more sounds left, and all he could do was pant. Wei Ying was inside him and all around him, and Wang Ji was drowning in it. Wei Ying had decided that he wanted him, and Wang Ji would belong to him forever. It was the heat of the morning that woke him at dawn. They had bathed together last night after everything. They had done everything, more than they had done at home in the Jingxia. In the cool bath water, they had washed and braided each other's hair before bed, and he had slept in such profound peace it was almost unbearable, with the sound of the waves outside the window, the watery movement of the moon's reflection on the ceiling, and Wei Ying's beloved heartbeat beneath his ear. But the sweat started pouring off him again, so he carefully disentangled himself from Wei Ying's arms. "Sleep a while longer," he said, when Wei Ying stirred. He dressed himself, aware that Wei Ying wasn't entirely asleep after all, dozing off but halfway watching him through the haze of that limbo between sleep and waking. He considered layering his clothes as he normally did, and just bearing the weight of the wet air and the heat, but yesterday had been so freeing. He left out a middle layer. By the time he was done with his hair, Wei Ying was up and getting dressed. "You're practically naked," Wei Ying said, when he saw the middle layer still hanging from the post of the bed. "I'm a bad influence on you." "The air here is heavy," Wang Ji said, "like walking through hot soup." "I know," Wei Ying said. "It makes my hair really fluffy." "Not yours, though." He came closer and smoothed his palm down the back of Wang Ji's hair, like petting a cat. When Wang Ji leaned into it, Wei Ying did it again, this time gathering his hair and holding the length of it. "Your hair is silk." "Thank you," Wang Ji said, his throat dry despite the humidity. Wei Ying leaned over his shoulder to kiss his cheek, then let go of his hair. "If we start now, we'll never stop. Breakfast?" They packed their belongings and went downstairs. Breakfast was fruit, steamed buns, and tea, with compliments from the innkeeper, who seated them outdoors under an umbrella and served them himself. His son, Chen, was nowhere in sight, possibly still recovering from the previous day's ordeal. While they ate, Wei Ying split his time, watching Wang Ji and gazing back over his shoulder, longingly, at the sea. "Would you like to swim again before we move on?" Wang Ji asked. "You have dry underclothes to change into, if you do." "If you don't mind, I'd like to stay on the shore and watch you. The thought of getting wet and salty again and traveling with wet hair was too much to bear. The smile that Wei Ying beamed at him almost necessitated another umbrella. It's low tide, he said. Look at those gliding waves. I'll have to wade out halfway across the sea just to pick my feet up. Yes, I would absolutely love that. We have a bit of time, right? So Wang Ji waited on the shore for him, watching as he pulled off his robe and his shirt and shoes, and waded out until he was close enough to dive under the first wave. A few months in the sun had sketched the color back into Wei Ying's skin, and it gleamed in the sun like the gold scales of a koi when he surfaced. Wang Ji watched him indulgently, unwilling to make him get out of the water. Children glided by Wei Ying on their little wooden planks. Men and women smiled as they swam by, bound by this love that they felt for the sea, an understanding among them, lovers of the water. Dazzling, the sun on each slowly cresting wave, brighter than any gem, and with a rhythm that lulled him. He reached out with his senses while rooting himself into the sand, meditating a little until Wei Ying's voice calling his name roused him. Lan Shan! Wei Ying was waving his hand as he bounded out of the waves back up to the shore. He didn't look hurt or in danger, yet his demeanor was urgent. That old, well-worn panic welled up in him. It was irrational. Wei Ying was in good health and even smiling, but the urgency in his voice still lit the fuse of his anxiety. Soon Wei Ying was almost upon him, looking as if he was going to throw his wet arms around Wang Ji's shoulders, but before he could do so, someone stepped between them. Wei Ying nearly ran into her, the way she dived in front of him. "I beg your pardon," Wei Ying said. "Master Wei," she said, with a deep, held bow. She had a sack strapped to her back. Wang Ji hadn't seen her face yet. "Oh," Wei Ying said. "Yes. Hello again." When she glanced over her shoulder, he saw her. The woman from yesterday, Chen's wife. Harmless, but an annoyance as she stood there before Wei Ying, who was still half naked and dripping wet and had something to tell Wang Ji. Wang Ji handed Wei Ying his robe. He slipped it on even without underclothes and tied it loosely. Wang Ji had to keep his mouth from falling slack. "Master Wei," she said, "I owe you the most profound of apologies for how I treated you after you rescued my husband. I was wrong." Yes, she was, and yes, she did. Wang Ji didn't want Wei Ying to make time for this, but of course he would. "It's all right," Wei Ying said naturally. "I appreciate your saying so. I brought you some food." Here she turned to look over her shoulder. "For both of you, if you'll accept it." She took the sack off her back and handed it to Wei Ying. "Fresh bread and oranges, grapes, and a watermelon for you to enjoy on your way. This is very little repayment for the gift of my husband's life, but I hope it will suffice to show my gratitude." Wei Ying took the sack and bowed to her. Wang Ji did not. Not purely out of pettiness, but because this was between them and his station didn't demand it. When Wei Ying turned to go, she said, "One more thing. I'm sorry to ask this of you." Bypassing Wei Ying this time, she approached Wang Ji and bowed again. There was always one more thing, wasn't there? He gave her a cursory bow in return, an acknowledgement to continue. "My clan is from inland," she went on, "through this inlet and up the river. My uncle recently died, followed by 3 more clan members, all after they entered the woods. We believe there might be a curse. If you were truly on a quest to help..." "We'll help," Wang Ji said. His personal feelings had nothing to do with any of this. "Is anyone in a dire situation right now? In other words, did they need to fly?" Always more of a challenge to carry Wei Ying on Bichen with him. He didn't mind, but Wei Ying didn't love it. It reminded him of what he had lost. "No," she said. "But soon? We just need someone to investigate. If you'd like, I can lend you a sampan to go up the river. It will take about a day. The way Wei Ying's eyes cut to him was all he needed to give her a quick nod of acceptance. She led them through the alleyway, back to the boardwalk that bordered the inlet. "It's not much," she said, indicating a small sampan tied up at the dock. Its sails were down, but Wang Ji could still see the fraying at the edges. The wood was splintered in some places and rubbed smooth in others. But talismans could keep any vessel afloat. He looked to Wei Ying for his wisdom in this, as he often did. "This will do nicely," Wei Ying said. "Nicely" was generous, but then they boarded the tiny sampan, and Wei Ying's eyes glinted with joy as he moved about the boat, readying it to set sail. He could easily have affixed a talisman to the back and foregone the sails, but the pleasure he took in hoisting them made the effort worth it. "Is there anything I can do to help?" Wang Ji asked. "Almost done, Lan Zhan," Wei Ying said, pulling up the small anchor and stowing it on board. He untied the ropes from the dock and then drew a blank paper from the inner pockets of his robe. Using his own blood, he did that so often there were calluses all over his fingers and small scars that could not heal without a core. He drew the talisman and affixed it to one of the sails. A small gust of wind picked up, billowing the sail and pushing the boat up the river. Grinning, Wei Ying rubbed his hands on his robe and sat close to Wang Ji at the back of the boat. "Wei Ying," Wang Ji said, "you wanted to tell me something." Instead of answering, Wei Ying held out his hand. The visual transported Wang Ji back to the night before, Wei Ying behind the privacy screen inviting him to bed.
"You said you wanted to do everything?"
Helpless to resist as he always was, Wang Ji took his hand. Wei Ying leaned toward him, and Wang Ji met him halfway with an eagerness that should have been embarrassing, but wasn't. Wei Ying's mouth tasted of salt, and, oddly, sunshine, like something was burning inside of him, bright and life-giving. His fingers fidgeted against Wang Ji's hand, as if he were trying to wiggle it out of his grip. Confused, Wang Ji let him go, even though Wei Ying still had Wang Ji's bottom lip between his own two lips. Wei Ying pulled away for a breath, then moved back in, tugging Wang Ji's hand as if asking him to put it somewhere else. Shameless. Perhaps too shameless, since the river was narrow enough for them to be seen by anyone along the banks. And as hard as it was to resist Wei Ying, doing a thing like that in public was a line he didn't think he could safely cross. But Wei Ying didn't direct his hand anywhere untoward. Instead, he wrapped Wang Ji's hand around his wrist, squeezing his fingers, driving them into the soft space between bone and tendon, where his pulses leapt up into Wang Ji's fingertips, full and bounding. Immediately he felt it, the thing he had felt hundreds of times when assessing juniors as they began their training. Small, new, fluttering, golden. Wang Ji pulled away from the kiss and stared, astonished, at Wei Ying's hopeful smile. "Ah, you felt it." He sighed and closed his eyes. "I thought I was imagining it." "Just today? In the water?" Wei Ying squeezed his fingers. "I think so. That's when I felt it." "You're not imagining it," Wang Ji assured him. "It's not strong," Wei Ying said. "Comparable to a child's, for now. But I could..." "Yes," Wang Ji said, before quickly reining himself in and drawing back. He gave Wei Ying the gentlest smile he could.
"Lan Zhan?" Wei Ying asked. "Are you not...
Of course you're happy about it, of course you are, but is something..." And it had happened again. His face sometimes didn't convey what he wanted it to. "I'm very happy for you. It will make your life easier and safer. I only don't want you to think that you were lacking before. You've always been enough." Again, Wei Ying leaned in and kissed him. There were people along the banks, and perhaps he and Wei Ying were both highly recognizable, even in a tiny, shabby sampan. Anyone could see them. But Wang Ji couldn't stop if he wanted to. He was drawn to Wei Ying again, as he always was, like the tide to a full moon. The end.